So when you heard what the topic was, or how we were going to be spending this evening, how many of you thought, oh, I really don't want to talk about that? A few honest people. How many of you at least internally rolled your eyes and said, oh great, we're going to hear about fresh starts and New Year's resolutions? Yeah, a few more honest people. So you're all right. We are going to talk about some of those things, and talk is going to be kind of the operative word there. So I plan to make a few comments here and then leave a fair bit of time to talk individually. So rest assured, we will not be dragging your deep, dark secrets out of you. So if the last year, if deeply personal things happened in the last year that are significant and you really don't want to talk about them, don't. If you hope to accomplish things in this next year that you really don't want to talk about, don't talk about them. I would encourage you, though, to, as we visit with each other, to let the body be the body. I think the church, a church that cares about each other, given an opportunity, is in a really interesting and unique position to walk alongside each other, to process what has happened in the past, to evaluate where we are currently, and to prepare us to walk into the future. So you can see my imaginative title here, Now What? And kind of what we hope to do tonight is look back at our last year, evaluate where we are, and prepare to move forward. Now, there is nothing magical about midnight on December 31st, except the calendar changes. So I often think that the emphasis on New Year's resolutions and fresh starts and things like that is really overblown, because we really ought to be evaluating where we are pretty regularly. I think there is value, though, in seizing obvious and natural times of transition to step back and see where we're at. Yesterday, Inc. magazine at least reported, I don't know if they did the survey or not, but they surveyed about 2,000 people and tried to figure out what the most common New Year's resolutions are. You know this one already. What is the most common New Year's resolution? Somebody tell me. Lose weight. So you're one-third right. Essentially, it's the top three. 71% said diet or eat healthier. 65, exercise more. 54%, lose weight. The top three New Year's resolutions, as I see it at least, are all pretty related to weight. Save more and spend less. Learn a new skill or hobby. Quit smoking. Read more. Find another job. Drink less alcohol. Spend more time with family and friends. Now, I don't really have many problems with the smoking and drinking. My employees probably would be concerned if one of my resolutions was to find another job. But I'm shooting about 70% on those, right? Most of us look at that and say, yeah, you know, I'd kind of like to do a lot of those, right? Guess what? This list is almost exactly the same one as they found in the beginning of 2018 and in 2017. So we care about these things, but we keep working on them. So I'm going to tell you a little story, or several stories, about myself, in hopes that we can learn something. So many of you are familiar, some too familiar, with the BMI chart, the body mass index. So in the middle of 2017, I kind of, out of morbid curiosity, thought, man, I wonder where I stack up on this. So I saw, just squarely in the overweight category, approximately 5'9" and weighed 190 pounds. Kind of overweight, but not too bad. But I thought that was worth doing something about. So I got a gym membership and I started running, tried to watch what I was eating, and I actually lost weight. And I was pretty consistent with my exercise until March of 2018, when I got sick for a week and didn't go to the gym while I was recovering, and I never went back. Not to be deterred, later in the year, I tried several different diets, and over the last year and a half, I have lost about 20 pounds. So that feels like a good thing. Unfortunately, like the Good Shepherd, I left all of the perfectly healthy pounds that I had and went and found every last one of them again. And they brought back friends. So this was taken about a week ago. Guess what that does to the BMI chart? It just crept upwards, which is not the direction you want that to be going. So as we stand here at the beginning of 2019, I'm pretty determined to make some changes and improve where I am on this chart. The losing weight thing hasn't worked very well for me. So by the end of 2019, I plan to grow about 7 inches and be back firmly in the normal range. Clearly that's not going to happen, right? But I've got some choices to make. If indeed this is the reality as of not very long ago, and if indeed this reality probably isn't going to happen, I can either stay there, I can keep going up, or I could go down. So, looking at this, I think there are several lessons we can learn. One is there are some things we can change in our lives. There are some things that we can't. Now, I could wear different shoes, but I cannot meaningfully change my height in ways that it affects my body mass ratios. Another thing that I think we can learn is that good intentions and good beginnings don't necessarily equal good outcomes. If I'm actually going to move the scales on the scales, it's going to take deliberate effort. I can't just wait and hope it takes care of itself. The weight will take care of itself. I just might not like the outcome. So now what? So I would like to introduce several ideas that probably you are all smarter than I am and know these things already, but a few of these things have started changing the way I think about goals and progress and life. So I'd like to introduce them. If you aren't living your life this way, or refresh them if you are. First idea is, if you don't know where you are or where you've been, it's harder to start from there or from here. My wife and I couldn't agree on which sounded right. So what I mean by that is, looking back over the last year and a half of trying to get a healthier body mass ratio, seeing that work sometimes, seeing it not work sometimes, I have a better idea of what my tendencies are, where some of my weaknesses are, and maybe what some of my strengths are. But more positively, I know where my weaknesses are, and that will inform how I approach making progress on my goals. More positively, if we're deliberate about recognizing and learning from the past, we're better equipped to walk into the future. Second idea is to act on the lead measures rather than obsessing with lag measures. Now, I'm going to make a confession that as a business person, as somebody who likes seeing the stories that numbers tell, this is really kind of a big deal. So let me explain what this means. So weight is a finite, measurable thing. Sometimes it's kind of depressingly measurable. However, if my weight loss plan is solely stepping on the scales to see if I've lost weight, it's a little like driving one direction while gauging my progress by looking in the rearview mirror. When I was a little boy, Irvin Miller farmed the land around us, and my brothers and I would often go out and ride in the tractor with him. And on good days, he would let us drive, and that was kind of a big deal. He told me that if you want to drive in a straight row, you pick an object way off in the distance and just drive straight toward it and never look back. You'll almost never get where you want to go in the way you want to get there if you look behind you to see how you're doing. If weight loss is the goal, acting on the lead measures will look like eating less, exercising more, and maybe taking the stairs instead of the elevator. Success on the lead measures is both predictive of movement in the lag measure. So if you eat less, if you exercise more, the lag measure, the weight, will probably change. As business people, we look at, pick your report, a profit and loss report, to see how you have done. The unfortunate thing about those reports is by the time you have the data, there is nothing you can do to change that. You can take that data and move forward with it, but far too much of the time in the way we live our lives, in businesses, organizations, families, we look back and assume that by keeping very close tabs on what has happened, it will give direction for where we go in the future. It can inform that direction, but it doesn't necessarily paint a clear path or draw clear lines ahead of us. So another example of a lag measure versus a lead measure, and I have some experience with this as well, if the goal is to have daily private devotions, it's really tempting to say, I'm going to read my Bible and spend time with God today. And at the end of the day, as I'm falling asleep, I say, wow, that didn't happen today, did it? Working on the lead measure is waking up in the morning and figuring out how will I arrange my day so that I have time to make this happen. Third idea, you'll see on a lot of motivational posters, many of our real goals will never be achieved. Here's what I mean by that. So I can set a goal of weighing, according to that pesky little BMI chart, I should weigh about 160 pounds, which means I only have 40 pounds to lose, and I'm afraid they might find friends. The reality is, those 40 pounds, that 160, that's supposedly the magic number, is only part of what I'm after. Sure, I want to weigh that, but what I really want to do is enjoy good health. I want to have energy. I want to feel good about how I look, and I want to do all of those things sustainably. It's really seductive for us to set arbitrary milestones at which we will have achieved success. But less attractive to realize that each individual goal is only part of what we're really trying to achieve. Make sure the thing you're working toward and probably working hard for is actually what you want to achieve. Another thing that doesn't actually feel like that much fun a lot of the time is embrace progress as the win. For many of our important objectives, like good health and fitness, we never complete our goals because the goalpost keeps moving. What good health and fitness looks like in your 20s might be different than what good health and fitness looks like or feels like in your 40s or 60s or 80s. Instead of making your focus the finish line, prioritize direction and acting on the lead measures. Many of the things that are important to us require change not only in ourselves, but happen in concert with other people and their goals and objectives. For instance, if you're at the beginning of the new year here and you say, I want to be the hands and feet of Christ this year, not a one of us would argue that that's a bad thing to do. You probably have your work to do to be the hands and feet of Christ. I think it's fine to recognize other people and organizations likely will play a part in helping you move toward that goal. So imagine Hands of Christ, Coffee Corner, Interfaith Housing, Kansas Youth Chorus, The Sewing, Moms in Touch, Rise, Being a Mom, Being a Dad. All of those things might be part of what being the hands and feet of Christ look like for you this year. They might not be. What it looks like to serve people as the hands and feet of Christ will look different for every person. And just about when you figure out what it looks like for you, it might change. So, an idea. Instead of be the hands and feet of Christ as your goal for the year, it might be more helpful to have as one of your priorities for the year, look for opportunities to be the hands and feet of Christ. Fifth idea I want to give you is keep going the day after perfect. So John Acuff wrote a book for people like me that are much better at starting things than they are at finishing things. He wrote the book, Finish, Give Yourself the Gift of Done. And in it, he talks about how perfectionism kills the motivation to keep going after a streak is broken. I went to the gym really regularly from October to March, and then I didn't go for a week. And you know what happened? I never went back until a couple of weeks ago. Why? I was out of rhythm. You know, I already had blown my record. And if you can't do something well, why bother doing it at all? At the bottom of almost every contract you sign is a clause that says something to the effect of, if any part of this contract is found to be unenforceable or illegal, everything else in the contract remains in full force and effect. We'll fail sometimes, but that doesn't mean everything about that goal or that process is a failure. It just means you have to start again and keep going from where you are. So all of this theory is hopefully helpful, but I would like to move into talking about real life and what that looks like. So I have three questions that I'd like to talk about, or that I'd like for you to talk about. And we'll do this by gathering in small groups, so choose your neighbors carefully. So we'll spend, I think, 10 minutes on this first question here. Looking back at 2018, what events or circumstances impact where you're starting from? So this could be a wide range of things, from very private to very public. For us, for Dorcas and I, we had a baby in April that changed how we spend a lot of the rest of the year. Now, you saw the baby. Many of you were kind enough to say nice things about him. But that basically affected our family. Walter and Frida decided earlier last year to get married. That changed their year and that of their families. And now, going into this year, all three of those homes are starting at a different place than they were a year ago. Melvin Nisley started last year caring for his wife, and this year has different areas of focus. We've wrestled as a church with what Hands of Christ as an organization should look like. Paul's private work and world have changed since June, and we're still trying to figure out what this next year looks like as an arm of the church. I know we have differing levels of comfort in processing out loud with other people, but again, I'd encourage you to open yourself to your neighbor and let the body work the way it should, listening, caring, and helping. Without recognizing where we're coming from, it's hard to start. So one more comment before we divide up into groups here. Looking back at our past, whether it's the last year, the last week, whatever the time period, there are undoubtedly going to be things that we are going to be faster to want to talk about than others. So the highlight reel that might show up on Facebook is going to be a lot more fun to talk about than the people you let down or the things that we really blew in this last year. I'd like to, as we had these conversations, try to remove a lot of the stigma from both the really good things or the not so good things or the really bad things. And certainly there are failures and things that are wrong in all of our past. But as we had these conversations, try to avoid beating yourself or others up for the things that you should have done differently. But recognize those things are part of who we are today and where we're starting from. So be honest and vulnerable with what the last year has looked like, and kind of take the events, the circumstances, and hold them away from you a little bit. It's a lot of these things happen right in here. Hold them away from you a little bit, turn it, look at it, see what it looks like, and get a realistic picture of what this last year has looked like. So we'll spend 10 minutes doing this. You can gather into groups now. Whatever feels comfortable. I'm thinking four is probably going to be a reasonable sized group. Sounds like a lot of good conversations are happening. So I won't spend a lot of time with this now, but I'm curious, in your conversation, does anybody want to share something that just kind of bubbled to the top that surprised you about looking at the last year in overview versus living each day at a time? Laverne.
We had a variety of ages in our group. Mm-hmm. It was impressive how that each for each there was something very significant that we may or may not.
And I think these conversations can help us realize that what may look significant, what feels significant to us may or may not look significant to the people around us. And I think by sharing that these stories in this time, we get a better feel for who we are and what's happening in our lives. Anybody else? Does anybody want to talk about things that were significant in 2018? John.
We took perspectives class.
Mm-hmm. So, who knows where that's going, but probably that's at least turning in interesting directions. Yeah. Good. Let's move on to the next question. You'll have another 10 minutes on this. Looking ahead to 2019, what things do you hope to accomplish or make progress on? Again, don't be too infatuated with the idea of things that you can finish this year. Another way to ask that is, what things are important to you? What things do you want to pay attention to in this next year? You have 10 minutes. All right, I think we're about ready to draw this to a close. So we're going to jump right into the next question. So this will be a brief interruption. And then we'll have a little more time to process as a larger group later. So the third question is, looking ahead to 2019, what lead measures might be helpful in making progress? So I want to challenge you to try something different this time around. So these are your issues. You're going to have some good ideas for how you can make progress on them, right? Consider and maybe offer letting the people around you offer input into lead measures that might be helpful for you. So I've gone through several different peer consultation groups where I would bring a challenge that I was trying to figure out how to work with. And I had to listen with my back turned for 15 minutes as people dissected how they thought I was handling the situation and gave ideas for ways that I could move forward on it. And I couldn't say a word. When I could talk again, I turned around and I said, not one of you has any idea how to do my job, but you have some really good ideas. You know, a lot of life isn't actually as complicated as we like to think it is. And sometimes, even without specific technical knowledge or specific knowledge about your situation, other people have good ideas because they see things from a different perspective. So consider helping other people and letting other people help you with ideas. Now, a couple of cautions here. Don't try to fix their problem. Don't say, well, if you would do this and this and this, you'd have this issue taken care of. Maybe. Maybe not. Don't say necessarily, oh yeah, I dealt with almost exactly the same thing, and this is what I did, and it worked really well for me. It might work really well for them. It might not. So give people ideas that they can rent. Don't buy all of these ideas. You don't have to take what your neighbor says and say, yes, for the next year, I am going to commit to doing this. But listen and consider, even if they don't have much idea what your life is like, whether they might have good input. Maybe try things. You don't have to say, well, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to do that for the rest of the year. Maybe you can rent the idea and say, that's a good idea. You know, I'm going to try that for several weeks, and then I'm going to evaluate how it's working. Maybe keep doing it. Maybe scrap it and try something else. Any questions about what I'm looking for here? Dwight.
Just clarify, lead measures. I think I sort of know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so if by the end of the year I want to have a healthy body mass index, I'm probably not going to grow 7 inches, so that means I have to lose weight. Losing weight, a lead measure for losing weight would be exercising more, eating less. You know, things that you do that aren't necessarily directly and tangibly tied to what you hope to accomplish, but things that you can do that if you do them regularly, consistently, will be predictive of moving the lag measure.
But is it signposts or is it things that I do?
Things that you do. Things that you do. Help me out. What are other good, Arlen, what are lead measures? So we want to increase sales of a given product. We could maybe lower the price. That would increase sales. We could increase quality. Or maybe we just need to meet more people that might need what we have. So there are a lot of different ways. The end goal is increased sales. But there are a lot of different things that you can try. So you might cut prices for a while. That's not doing what you want it to do. You might increase quality for a while, but maybe you're overqualified in the market. So, you know, different things that you can try that if you succeed and are consistent with them will move the lag measure of increased sales.
Well, the lead measures are similar to the ideas that you're in for sales.
Yeah. Any other questions? So lead measures might be the ideas that you're renting here. You know, you don't necessarily have to find something and commit to it from now until forever. But things that you can try, that you can do, that will be predictive of moving the lag measure. All right, 10 minutes on that one. I really hate to interrupt all of these good conversations, but I hope that some of these conversations can provide a bit of a template for what after church conversations might look like on a more regular basis. So we do need to keep moving fairly rapidly here, but I'm wondering, does anybody have anything, observations, things they learned, things they really react to about the evening? Or about what we've talked about. Anybody have anything they want to share with the group? I think the tension of idealism and perfectionism are absolutely crippling for most of our goals. So if we say, this year, I'm going to exercise 3 days a week. What happens if you have some of those weeks that you don't exercise 3 days a week? All of a sudden, your entire year, the success of that goal is blown. And it's pretty hard to recover from that often, at least for some of us. Another danger I see with setting long-term goals is you might set the wrong one, because you don't have all of the data that you will have as you move through life. Certainly, we want to look ahead, find the tree in the distance to drive straight toward. But if you come across a sinkhole along the way, it's probably worth driving around that sometimes. So being too enamored with not wavering, I think, can also be harmful. Do you want to bring the mic up? Sorry, we're getting farther away from some people.
I was thinking about relationships and how they are. I think they should be tied to a lot of the disciplines we put into our lives. Some of the things are about personal growth, and you talked about health. For me, I've thought, and Hannah and I as a couple were talking about time and creating margin in our lives. And I think it's possible to set personal goals that can run over the needs of those around us. So then we're losing, because the core of our lives has to be centered around relationship, first of all with God and then with those around us. So I think that can be a very stabilizing and enriching locus of our goal setting.
And another thing you touched on there will always be competing values. So if I am going to set as my goals for this year, I want to spend much more time with my family, and I would also like to exercise 2 hours a day. You can see that that's going to get pretty frustrating in an already full schedule. Now, that doesn't mean you have to choose whether you're going to exercise or you're going to spend more time with your family. But there's going to be some tension there that we're going to have to deal with. I would like to close by gathering in these groups again and praying for wisdom for all of us as we walk through this new year, this would like to pray for wisdom to learn the lessons from the past, and pray for each other. And John, in about 5 minutes, if you could lead a song, that would be great. After that song, we will be dismissed.